This morning I want to emphasize this scripture from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. We've been hearing a lot about these two verses for quite a while now, and it's been declared and expounded and explained again and again and again every single week. And it's an important verse that God is doing in our lives in this season of time, or every day of our lives. So let me just quickly read this verse. It's probably most of you know by heart anyway. But Romans 12, chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Okay. So, as we hear this morning, let us hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. We'll be hearing this verse over and over again, but I believe that there's so much in just those two verses. So keep that in the back of your mind as we go along this morning. Can you do that with me?
Yes.
Amen. Alright. Now, I just want to read another couple of verses here. The last few times that I shared, I opened up with those two scriptures. Opened up with 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. Then we read Titus 2, verse 11 to 15. It says this, "But you are a chosen," everybody say, "a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but are now obtained mercy." Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We are God's special people. What is man that is you're so mindful of? I think Brother Donald did a very fantastic job last week telling us about the wonder, the super wow. You remember, right? Super wow. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But God didn't create super wow to do nothing. Alright?
Yeah.
Right? Superman's got a job, he's got to save the world. So you're super wow.
Yeah.
We're going to bring the wonder into the world. Titus 2, 11 to 15. It says this, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." What is the grace of God? What is the grace? What is the power that we're reading here? It is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify us for himself, his own and is zealous for good works." Okay, so my point that I've been trying to stress as well is that God sets us out, takes us out of darkness into his light, that we might do what? That we might be zealous for good works. What kind of works have you ever wondered? What does God wants us to do? What kind of work? McDonald's? Clean the house? Go to the city, have a job, be employed? What kind of work is God asking us to do? Now, interesting, isn't it? God says, repent from dead works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10 says, You're saved by grace, through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But it is a gift from God. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand. So, this idea, we've got to repent from dead works. Those works without Christ, those works that was not initiated by God, anything that is to do with self, my own effort, my own abilities, my own skills, I bring this to the Lord. But God said, no, there's a way to approach me. Right? Not your own works. There's a way of approach to God, and that is by grace, through faith. So we're going to turn away from dead works. We're not saved by works, but we were created or recreated, or we were set free, born again, for good works. Does that make sense?
I think you all know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Right? So we're not saved by works, but we were created for works. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. His own special people, zealous for good works. Now I want to ask you, just to think, okay? Because I don't think we can cover, what are the works that God wants us to enter in? Now, you know that when you talk about works, there's not just one single work. Alright, so that's why. So if I want to give you a brief idea, think about it. I mean, in fact, can you think, just think about this. It's just extra food for thoughts, okay? Or seeds, okay? God is a working God. He's been working right from Genesis. Okay? It says, after he had done all of his work, he rested. What work? Day one, day two, day three of creation. After he had finished his work, he rested. Actually, says after he finished all his work, he rested. What did Jesus come to do? What work did he come to do? To destroy the kingdom of Satan, to plunder the gates of hell. What were the works of Christ? The works of Christ on Calvary, died on the cross, resurrected. What are the unseen works of Christ? He went into the lowest pit of hell, took the keys of Hades, of death and Hades, and resurrected and rose and sits at the right hand of God. What is Jesus doing right now? He's working. He's interceding. He's our advocate. He's building his church. All right? He's interceding for us. So I just want to give you a thought that God is a working God. And if we're created in the image and likeness of God, then we were created for a work. What is that work? Okay? Alright, so there are many works. I'll give you a few, come into a couple here and there. Just to have some thoughts, something to think about. Okay? We are to work out what God works in us, Ephesians chapter 2. We've got to work it out. Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. Alright? There's a work of the ministry. But before we can do the works of the ministry, we've got to be equipped for the work of the ministry. Evangelism. Building the house of God. Okay? Can you see where I'm coming, where I'm getting at today?
Yeah.
So there is a work that God wants us to do. There's a job that God wants us to do. There is something that God has assigned for each and every one of us that we got to do. But altogether, there's a work that there's the same work. We're going to finish the same work that Jesus began. And we're going to finish it together with Him. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. So there's a work, but I want to talk to you specifically the first works this morning. I don't know if I told you the title of my subject, but just so far it's just an introduction. Is that right? Okay? Alright? So just an introduction, just to get our mind thinking about, okay, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Okay? Then we talk about we're created for good works. I want to talk to you about doing the works, the first works, worthy of repentance. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Do the first works worthy of repentance. We've got to be ready for every good works. That means there are many kinds of good works. Okay? But I want to focus on one particular one, which is the first works. Not the second. Before we go worldwide evangelism, before we go minister, before we go and preach, teach, song lead, or whatever. Okay? Before we even do hospitality. This is the first works that we've got to do. And we can see these first works in Mary and Martha. You know the story of Mary and Martha in the Bible, right? Jesus comes to them and Jesus appears and Martha is in the kitchen making food and Mary's just at the feet of Jesus listening to Jesus and Martha's like, Mary, you're so lazy, you don't work. Why do I have to do all the kitchen work? Why don't you come and help me? Alright? I know I told you guys are working, I'm going to work, but what is the first works? Okay, and Jesus said, Mary has chosen the better thing, that is to sit with me and to hear what I have to say. Alright? Okay, so can you understand what I'm talking about? The first works. Am I getting your attention here? Thought process, how I'm trying to deliver this thought process to you. Okay?
So we are created for good works. Let's talk about the first works. We know we're created for good works. There are many works. Now, in fact, before I keep going, in Romans chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, he talks about presenting our bodies as living sacrifice, isn't it? And he tells us, hey, we're going to be renewed by the transforming of our minds, all right? That we might know what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, if you kept reading the following verses, you'll find out that it's talking about diversity in the body of Christ. It's talking about, according to the measure of faith that was given to each and every one of us, we are to function accordingly as a body. Can you see? Present your body, and the body of Christ needs to operate. Operate and do a work. But before we do a work, we must first present. Does that make sense? So can you see there's always a work that God wants us to do. There's an individual work that God is doing inside of our lives that is not corporate, and there's a corporate work that God is doing. But before I can go into the corporate, I have to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Alright, so Pastor Good, are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, alright. Okay, now, for the key scripture this morning, I want to open up to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. There are many key scriptures this morning, okay? But this is the main text for the message, okay? It says this, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Now remember, this is Jesus, John writing to the seven churches. This is Jesus giving the message to the seven churches. This is the first church, the church of Ephesus, okay? What does it say? These things says, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, he who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, alright? I know your works, your labor, your patience. Now, if you look at every single of these churches, Jesus will always say, I know your works, without fail. To every single church, he says, I know your works. That means Jesus is looking for works. But we're not saved by works, but Jesus is looking for works. He's examining our works. He will examine our work. He will judge our works, and we will be rewarded according to our works. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
So we've got to think about what works is God after. Okay? Like I said, there are many works, but I'm after one particular one this morning. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Okay, they've labored for his name's sake, they've hanging there, they've persevered, alright? Nevertheless, I have this against you. Great, you're doing lots of works. Great, you're doing a lot of laboring. Alright? But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Okay? Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Okay? I want to talk about three main points this morning. I'll just verbalize it first and then we'll go through each one. Okay? I want to talk about number one. Remember or recognize where we have fallen. Where we have fallen. Now the message here is what? You have forsaken the first love. Therefore, do the first works. I'll get back to this in a moment. Number two, repentance. Which has to do with a change of mind. Change in the way of thinking. Number three, we are to do works worthy of repentance. Okay? So this is all taken from Revelation, specifically verse 5. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. What first works are we talking about today? Now, do you know that the first works has to do with the first love? Is that right? So the works that he's talking about here relates to the first love that they had forsaken. Therefore, do it quickly and repent. Jesus is our First love. 1 John 4:19 says this: we love Him because He first loved us. Can you see that? First love. He first loved us, so we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. He's the first love. He's the first love. What am I saying here? Why do I bring back Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2? Is what I'm trying to say is this: our first love speaks of what? Our consecration, our devotion, our intimacy, our relationship, how we relate with God. Is that true? How we treat Him, how we honor Him. That's to do with the love, right? If, you know, love of your life, you know, you treasure the person. Like, if you have a really good friend and you really treasure the relationship, then you treasure the person with honor, respect, you give attention. You know what I'm saying? You love the person. You make time for the person. You would sacrifice for the person. Is that true? Alright? And so Jesus is asking, I want, before you go and do lots of works, which I'm very pleased, you're great, you're doing that. But there's one thing that I have against you: you've forsaken the first love. First love. Your devotion, your love, your consecration, your yieldedness, your surrender unto Me. So when we talk about Romans chapter 12 verse 1, we say, present ourselves as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God. What are we saying? What are we saying? We're saying, Lord, I present this body, this body. Thank You, Lord, You have redeemed my spirit. Thank You, Lord, that You've set me free from what You did on the cross. I'm free. I'm set free. You present me, I'm blameless, I'm holy, I'm righteous because of the righteousness of God. Now, as my act of worship, now remember, okay, can we just flash back this scripture again, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now, this is what I want to get you to think about this morning, to really understand, is what is the first works? The first work has to do with our worship. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. My body, this vessel, okay, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Some of the version talks about, it says, or it actually means your ministration, your worship unto God. Our serving is our worship unto God. So when Jesus says, okay, do the first works, your worship, your intimacy, your love, your devotion, your yieldedness, your surrendering. Remember, when we present our bodies, what are we saying? I'm dead to sin and alive to God. And I worship You. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And so it's this devotion, this love, this consecration, this commitment, this covenant, that we're completely devoted, passionate, zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that God wants. To serve means to worship Him first. Does that make sense? So far, are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, first works, okay? When the people of God, hopefully you're following my train of thoughts here, first works, Romans 12, first works, okay, repent, do the first works, intimacy, first love. Are you connecting the dots, hopefully? Okay? First works, in Exodus chapter 7, verse 16, when the people of God, remember they were in slavery? How many of you remember they were in slavery?
Yeah.
They were in slavery, how many? 400 plus years, they're roughly around 400 something years. And then God sends Moses, let my people go. What does he say to Aaron? What is said to Pharaoh? The Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, everybody say, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed until now you would not hear. So when God sent Moses and Aaron as his spokesman to take them out from Egypt, to do what? To go and serve Him in the wilderness. Serve Him means what? Get Him a cup of tea. Worship. It was to worship Him. The word serve is to worship Him. The ministration. When we read, they crossed the Red Sea, Exodus, obviously a couple months ago we've been reading Exodus. So they cross the Red Sea, and then what happens? Over the Red Sea, they go through the miraculous, and what does God begin to do? Right from chapter 25, Moses, build the tabernacle according to the pattern that I've shown you on the mountain. Exactly. And then from chapter 25, for a number of chapters, he talks about the tabernacle of Moses. Right? Be helpful if you've recently gone through the book. Okay? So what does it say? Build the tabernacle. And this is what I want you to do. These are the jobs that the priests have to do. They're going to serve me in this manner. In Numbers chapter 4, alright, if you've just read Numbers last month, the book of Numbers, specifically chapter 4, alright, if you've got some time, take a highlighter or take a pen or take a pen, whatever, just put, see how many times you find these three words: service, duty, and work. And the service and duty and work had to do with the tabernacle. Are you with me so far? Now remember that the tabernacle of Moses, this tabernacle, now show me the next picture, next slide here. So just everyone's on the same page here. These three things are the same thing, right? So just different angles. So this is from outside, again outside, and the bottom one is what it looks like inside that little tent there, or little, big, whatever, how big it was. But that's what it was, okay? And so God asked Moses, okay, to build this, to do this work, and the priest had to do the work of this tabernacle. They had to get it going, and they had to do very specific things. So inside here, you can see the priest, the high priest, okay, doing all these things there. And so without going too much details about this, but what was this tabernacle of Moses all about? What was the whole point of the whole tabernacle? It was a place, tabernacle, it was a tent. It was a place for the dwelling place of God, for God to dwell in. Is that true? Tabernacle of Moses is to dwell in that place. And so the Shekinah glory, the actual presence of the Lord, would actually appear in the tabernacle. Alright? And so it was to host, to receive, to dwell, the dwelling place of God, the tabernacle. And the priests had to do the work, the service, the duty of the tabernacle. Now, bring you from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The New Testament, Jesus says He wants to dwell with us. He wants to tabernacle among us. Yeah. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Revelations. Yeah. So what does it mean saying? I want to dwell in the midst of you. In Revelation chapter 2, when we're reading by the book of, when the letter to the seven churches, what does it say? The seven golden lampstands, He's walking in the midst of the seven lampstands. The lampstands, again, I hope this is not really, I'm not trying to do a Bible study here, but the lampstand speaks of the church, and He's walking in the midst, so His presence is right here. He's walking, He's looking, He's examining, His presence is here, and so He wants to dwell among us. Corinthians talks about, I'm a temple, we read it this morning, in fact, during the prayer time, is my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that you were bought at such a price? Therefore, honor God, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. Right? So this body is a temple, a dwelling place for God to live inside of me, and that's why I need to consecrate and devote it for God. Just like they had to do the work of the tabernacle, then there's a work that I need to do. I need to maintain this body. I need to take care of this body. The works of the tabernacle. Alright, so today we're a tabernacle. Then take it one step further. In Ephesians chapter 2 or 3, it talks about how Jesus is building us as a spiritual house for His dwelling place. Alright, so I haven't got all these scriptures up, but I hope you can, if I just verbalize it, I hope it's okay that you can capture the verses there, right? So Jesus is building us as a spiritual house unto Him to offer up spiritual sacrifices, a dwelling place. We are living stones. Each of us living stones being built together as a spiritual house unto God. So the work of the tabernacle. What was the work of the tabernacle in the Old Testament? Where is God's dwelling place? That means I need to take care of this vessel. I need to take care of this temple. That's the reason why Romans, let me go back to Romans chapter 12 verse 1. I offer my body, this temple, this tabernacle, as living sacrifice, dead to sin, alive to God. Right? So I offer my life as a living sacrifice. My body and members of my body as instruments of righteousness, so that I would not do evil and wickedness, but I'll do the works of righteousness. That's found in Romans chapter 6. And so by taking care of this vessel, we are taking care of this vessel. I don't want to talk too much about the daily ministration, but we've spoken about it in the past, and maybe in the future we can do it again. But the daily ministration had to do with the blood of Jesus. It had to do with the washing. It had to do with the Word of God, the bread, the table of showbread, the oil of the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit, building ourselves in the Holy Spirit. It has to do with incense, which is prayer. And so there's a life of devotion unto God in His Word and in the Spirit. That's our devotion to God. And we come to God and say, Lord, I surrender all to You, yielded to You. To present means to yield ourselves, to offer ourselves, to come before You. When they brought an offering in the Old Testament, they bring it before God, and it wasn't theirs, it was for God. And so we come before God and say, this vessel is Yours, Lord. And so do the first works. What? Intimacy. Take care of this vessel, this body. My body is a living sacrifice unto You, God. Holy, and let it be acceptable before You. That's the first works. My devotion, my love. So that's why we reiterate Romans chapter 12 verse 22. How much it's an important verse to us. Because until we get that, until we present, until we die to self, every works become dead works. Unless Jesus is the reason why we're doing it, unless it's from the God, from the Holy Spirit, then everything that we do outside of that is called dead works. And so I was myself very challenged, you know, after doing so many things and being involved with so many things. And sometimes we get caught into things where that replaces God rather than, you know, because of that I serve. And sometimes what happens is we become distracted and we compromise. Alright? Okay la, okay this, don't worry about it, it's okay. Alright, we compromise in small things. Maybe. Or we don't give it the utmost importance. Yeah. Maybe I'm more interested to chat after church, talk to my friends, and maybe I'm, you know, looking forward for the food, which is nothing wrong with that. But if that's taking priority over my worship and devotion unto God, and making sure that Christ is always first, then I have to re-examine my motives. I have to rededicate my life and say, Lord, here I am. In fact, we need to dedicate daily. We have to say, God, I die daily. Alright? Which is what the next point is, repentance. Remember, do the first work, repent, and do the first work. So the first work has to do with our first love, our devotion to Jesus and His Word and by the Spirit, which is found in the daily ministration, which we're not really focusing on, but it's to do with presenting ourselves. It has to do with His blood. I can only come before Jesus because of His precious blood, His sacrifice, which is like and which we can see more. Holy Communion. Lord. Again? Alright, I'm not going to say too much more than that. But the second point is repentance. Repentance. Every time we present ourselves to God, every time we say, Lord, I present my body a living sacrifice, my spirit, my soul, my body, every members of my body, my thoughts, my eyes, my ears, my hands, my mouth, my feet, everything, every members, every time we say, Lord, it is Yours, I dedicate it unto You. What are we doing? We're denying self and we're saying, Lord, it's what You want. I want to know what is Your good, acceptable, and perfect will. Isn't that right? So we're saying no to my will, no to my flesh, no to myself, no to the system of this world, no to Satan, no to sin. And we're saying, Lord, You are the master of my life. And so every time we do that, we're changing. We're saying we're letting go. We're turning away. We're turning from something else. We're turning to God. We say, no, I let go of my, of whatever. I let go of this and let go of that and I choose God. So there's a work of repentance, isn't it? Every time we're going to say, okay, let my mind be surrendered to Your thoughts and Your will. Every time we change our thoughts and say, okay, no, I normally think that way, but I choose. Your Word says like this, I will change my thinking process and think the way You think. That's repentance. Because repentance is what? A change of thought, a change of mind, a change of direction. Once walking that way and now turn 180 and walking towards God. Was once walking towards the world and heading to hell. Then Jesus turned my life away, changed my thought, changed my thinking, changed my life, turned me around, and now I put my faith in Jesus. Repentance. When I present myself, what am I saying? I'm denying self. It's repentance. It's daily repentance. Repentance is not just once when we receive Jesus, but it's a continual process. Why? Because we are being changed. We are being transformed. And more and more, as we behold Him as in a mirror, the perfect Christ in the mirror, I'm being changed. And as I look at that, I'm being changed from glory to glory. More and more into His image. I'm being transformed. More and more. Isn't that right? So, repentance. Verse 2 of Romans 12 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Mind, renew, change the mind. Change the way we think. Okay? When we look at our rights and expectation, we think a certain way. Well, I got bitter. Well, I got angry. It gives me the right to express that way. No, it's not. I got to change the way I think. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? Am I really living and upholding what the Word of God says about this and this and this? Right? Repentance is changing. Change the way we think. And when we change the way we think, it changes the way we behave. It changes the way we live. It changes the way we express ourselves. Right? Repentance is more than saying sorry. To apologize, just saying, didn't mean to. Oh, you know, you're not really saying forgive me, I'm sorry. Just saying, oh, I feel bad it happened. So just keep it cool. That's just a way to bring things down, isn't it? But to say forgive me, I'm sorry, change, it's different, isn't it? Okay, so it's very important for us to repent. Repentance. Repentance. And Jesus in the book of Revelation is calling for repentance. Repentance. Repent. Repent. Repent and do the first works. Have we left our first works? Have we left our first love? How is our devotion? Now I want to take you to another step now. Is we talk about repentance, which is a change of mind. Change the way we think. Okay? Now, I'll give you a quick example of how we had a change, okay? And this is, I use the simplest example, but I guess that'll do, right? Okay. So, I feel like God recently has been dealing with me, has been, how do you say that? Dealing and has been putting in my heart this topic about works, okay? And so, there's something that I picked up, and it really, not picked up, but it really reinforced in the last few works, and it's that this. Before God finished His work, before God rested, He finished His work. Is that right? Are you following with me? So in Genesis chapter 1, or chapter 2 actually, in the first few verses it says, after He had all finished His work, He rested. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Yeah, look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, do you know that Jesus, God created the heavens and the earth?
Yes.
Right, took 6 days, right? And then what happened after the 6 days? He rested on the seventh day, right? But before He rested, He finished, He made sure He finished His work. And the Bible gives us a record. After He had finished His work, He rested. Okay, you with me so far?
Yeah.
Okay. So that has been speaking to me. And so, in a practical sense in my own life, sometimes we leave things undone, incomplete. Maybe like, for example, what I've done recently is, sometimes you come back at home a bit late, maybe, and you just had something quick to eat, and you're like, oh man, I just want to go to sleep. I just don't want to do anything else, right? Just want to go to sleep. Right? So, but this verse came to me, it's like, hey, you finish your work first, and then you go to sleep. I'm like, oh, if I don't do anything about this, then it makes me a hypocrite. How can you say God is working your life and finish your work? So even if it's just one, dude, like a bowl and a cup, and you're like, oh man, I'll wash it till the morning when I get up. And that's what you want to do. Sometimes you just, oh, I'm so tired, I'll just do it tomorrow morning. Rabbi Nelson, I said, no, God finished his work and then he rested. So if I want to rest, I've got to finish my work. So I said, okay, now I'll just wash that plate and that cup. All right, okay. Okay. So which I did. And so, you know, and so it changes the way we think. And ultimately, if it changes the way we think, it changes the way we do things. Is that right? So repentance is a change of thought. Think like God. And how do we do that again? Now we're going to look at the last point now. Point three. Do works worthy of repentance. And the verse for that one is, you know, I said key, a lot of key words, the verse, okay? James chapter 1, verse 1 to 21 to 25. Okay, this is the last point. Okay, we're going to do works worthy of repentance. Remember, Jesus says, remember where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works. Repentance must follow with action, faith. Follow with action, which means to do, demonstrate, execute, express. Do it. All right. Everybody say, do it.
Do it.
All right. Just do it.
Just do it.
Okay. This is not Nike, right? I'm not doing any. They're not paying me to say that. Okay. All right. James chapter 1, verse 21 to 25. It says, let me read the scripture first. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Do you observe your face in the mirror?
Yes.
Alright, every morning?
Yes.
Alright. Probably don't think you look very intelligent then, do you? For he who observes himself goes away and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks in a perfect limited law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful, hearer, but a what? Everybody say it together? A doer of the word. This one will be blessed in what he does. You and I must be a doer of the work. What is that work? Again, we're talking about work. Is it worldwide evangelism? I think works, definitely. God has a work for us to reach out to people, to be a witness, pray for the sick, love people, do good things to people, love your neighbor as you love yourself, be a witness. This is the work that God has called us for. We are to do it. We are to be a witness. We are to be a love. We are to be a soul. But it's the first work first. Right? First work. That's what we're talking about today, right? I'm not saying that's the only work we have to do. But this is our first work. As far as God is concerned, first work, first love, devotion, consecration, surrender. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. Present. Offer. So be doer of the work. Everybody say, be doer of the work.
Be doer of the work.
The doer of the work.
Doer of the work.
First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, he says this. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech and of all wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling in my speech. My preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but, everyone say but, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. You know, the number one problem with Christian, when I say Christian, that includes me, is we talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. In fact, we talk big and big, very big, very big.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
We're very eloquent to speak. Right, isn't it?
Yeah.
But Paul says, I didn't come to you with persuasive words of human wisdom. We love that, don't we? We love knowledge. We love to look like we know what we're talking about. We love to look like we've got everything under control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he says what? But in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now power is dynamis, right? Which is power. It talks about the miraculous power of God. So what Paul is saying is, I don't want you to rest your faith in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Now, this is just been highlighted to me as I read this verse, but when I read this recently, I saw But in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, I thought, yeah, it's true. We're going to be able to demonstrate the spiritual things. More than just signs and wonders. I mean, absolutely, I agree. I'm not trying to say that the interpretation is not miracles and signs and wonders and prophecy and healings and all that. But I'm saying, isn't that true that we need to be able to demonstrate the things of the Spirit? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What for we offer our body to God? A living sacrifice for what? To do His will. A body was prepared for Jesus to do His will. In burnt offerings and sacrifice, He wasn't pleased with that. He didn't want that, right? But a body you have prepared for me, that's talking about Jesus, to do His will. So this body is to do His will. Are you with me so far? So my body needs to be able to demonstrate the things of the Spirit. My life needs to be a demonstration of the Spirit in both, yes, in power, both in miracles, but what is the grace of God that is working in us? Remember, that's the reason why I said, okay, let's read this first scripture. What is the power of God? To denying godliness and worldliness, teaching us to observe, how to live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present age. How to do that? So it's the power of God working in me, demonstrating through my life. And so when I say repent, my life must express it. There must be fruit worthy of repentance, which means, okay, I'm not there yet. I'm not saying we have to be there, but at least we are getting there. We are changing. We are doing something. There must be a manifestation. All right, the Word of God doesn't just stay in the Spirit. The Word, yes, in the beginning was the Word, but the Word became flesh. And so what I'm saying to this morning, we've got to have the demonstration of the Spirit, which is both the fruit and the gift of the Spirit. So we're not just talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is prophecy, tongues, and all this other gift of healings, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and all these great, exciting things. But we're also talking about what? The gift, the fruits of the Spirit. Which, let's quickly verbalize it. But the fruits of the... Everybody, say it with me together. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is what?
Love,
joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law. So there must be a demonstration. That means I repent. There must be a demonstration. There must be something. So don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. A doer of the work, in fact. What is that work? What is Jesus saying? Repent. Turn to your first love. Go back to your first love. Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do the work. Don't just say, Jesus, I'm sorry and I love you, and your feet's running somewhere else. Right? That's not what we do. We say, Lord Jesus, I surrender everything, and then next meeting we're doing our own thing. Yeah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For he is God. Everybody say, he is God.
He is God.
Who works?
He works.
You see, God is working?
Amen.
Told you God is a working God, right? It is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure.
Amen.
So, God is working in me. God is doing a work. But whose job is it to work it out? Not God. He puts it in me, but I work it out, which means from an inward expression, it needs to find an outward expression. Remember, you have an input, you must get an output. You know, for you, use a calculator, right? You input something in, equals, you're going to get an output. So God puts something in us, then we've got an output. You eat food, it also output. True. Alright? So input, output. Everyone say input, output.
Input, output.
Okay? And so, what am I saying this morning? We're going to be not just say, I'm sorry. Not just say, I want to do this and I want to do that. A lot of times we pray and we say, Lord, I want this and I want to do that. I want to be obedient. I want to be righteous. I want to serve you. I want to and I want to and I want to. And that's all we say. Words, right? But the challenge here that Jesus is, that God is giving us today is, okay, you've got to repent, but you've got to do works worthy of repentance. John the Baptist, in fact, says, who told you of the judgment to come? You've got to show fruits worthy of repentance. Don't just come here and just try to tag along and be spectators and hopefully you'll escape death. No, we must have fruits worthy of repentance. And so Jesus says, repent, do. Everybody say do.
Yeah.
Do means action. Do means implement. Do means execute. Is that right? So how do we do that? How do we do that? Unless I first come into a place where I say, Lord, I surrender, Lord. I surrender my rights, my expectation, my life, my understanding. Many things we don't understand. Sometimes you might wonder, why does these things happen? Where did I go wrong? What did I do wrong? We don't understand everything. But if I say, Lord, I yield it to you. I yield it to you. I'm not going to hold anything. I'm just going to surrender everything to you. Because we don't know much. Is that true? I don't know much. One last scripture, and it's not there, but let's quickly turn to Matthew chapter 6, and I finish with this. So we are created for good works, right? There are many works to do. But the first work, Jesus tells us in Revelation 3, is repent, do the first work. Don't forsake the first love. Dedicate, surrender, daily dying to self, which is what? Essentially, we're talking about Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. It's talking about taking care of this tabernacle with the Word, with the Spirit, through the blood, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I surrender my life to you. Out of that, this surrender, I repent and I change my mind. I renew my thoughts. I renew my mind so that I'll not be conformed according to this world, but that I might know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So, Pastor Good?
Yeah.
Did I just summarize what we've just been talking about? And so, out of that, my life becomes, it becomes an expression through my life. So, not only do I just say I repent, but I do works worthy of repentance. Now, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 to 27. How many? Very, very, very common scripture, right? There's nothing, you know this. You probably close your eyes and you can memorize it, right? You can say it out. But I want you to take note of something really carefully here, because I want to bring this together with what we read in James chapter 1, verse 24 onwards. And this is one I want you to see. 24, it says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, remember, Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Yeah? Alright, so whoever hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Is that clear? Is that easy? So if I hear and I do it, then I'm building on the rock. And I'm likened as to a wise man. So that means this person is wise. Is that right? Matthew 7. Okay? Matthew 7. Sorry. Shall we do it again? Okay, I think I probably didn't capture everybody here. So let me just do it again. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Alright, therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine, does them, and will liken him to a wise man who has built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, it beat on the house, and it didn't fall, for it was founded on the rock. You hear, build, you're likened to a wise man who built. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Number two is, verse 26 to 27, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now, this is what I want you to take note of. Okay? Now, I know we talk about foundation, you're going to build the foundation of that, but what I want to emphasize here this morning is this. He who builds is likened to a wise man. That simply means, if I hear it and I do it, I'm wise. If I hear it and I don't do it, I'm a fool. Alright? Now, how many know of you, Book of Proverbs speaks about wisdom. So that means when I hear it, someone preaches about wisdom and gives me some good wisdom sayings and all these kinds of words that has to do with the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God, isn't it? Not my own wisdom, it's the wisdom of God. Now, I hear the wisdom of God, I hear it, it's come through my ears, it's come through my eardrums. Right? I can hear it physically. The fact that I've heard the wisdom, of saying of wisdom, doesn't make me wise. Even though I can say it back.
Yep.
Even though I've heard it. Even though I can retain it in my mind. That still doesn't make me wise.
Yep.
Not because I have wisdom, knowledge makes me wise. But what makes a person wise is when he hears and he applies it and he does it, that makes him wise. But if he hears it and he doesn't do it, that makes him a fool. That means I can have all the wisdom and understanding, and if I've not done it, I'm just as foolish as ever.
Yeah, that's right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So not because I have some great, I can articulate, verbalize, I'm eloquent in great sayings of wisdom and dark sayings and so spiritual, that makes me so spiritual. It is whether I'm able to, okay, what I'm hearing, can I do it in my own life and practice that? That makes me wise. Yeah. So if you want to say I'm a wise man, it's not the gray hair, okay? Of course, it comes with maturity and all that, we understand that. What I'm saying is, a real wise person is one who hears and does it.
Amen.
That's why Jesus spoke against the Pharisees. He says, you, woe to you, lawyers. Woe to you. You tell them to do all these things and you don't even flick one little finger and do it yourself.
Yeah.
You give them work, things, very difficult to bear. You tell them all these kinds of, you must do this and you must do that. And you yourselves don't flick one finger. You don't even use one finger to do any of it. That's actually in the scripture, right? Luke 11. So woe to you. Woe to you. You know this. You have the key of knowledge. You didn't enter in, and you prevent others from entering in. So he was saying, woe to you. Woe to you. Woe to you. Why? They knew, they heard, they expressed it, they could say it, they quoted, they fasted, they gave, they did the orgy, the kaye stuff, right? But they didn't practice it. And in fact, they were putting all these things, all these requirements on people, and they themselves didn't keep it. So what is God saying? What are we saying this morning? We're saying, do works worthy of repentance. If you forgive someone, then what are the fruits worthy of repentance? If you love someone, what is the fruit worthy of repentance? If I say I'm devoted to God, what is the word? What is the works worthy of repentance? Right? Every time we say, "Hey, Lord Jesus, I love you. I love you. You're preeminent. You're the Word. You're the final say. You're the final say." But the real test is not when we say it; it's what we do afterwards, isn't it? Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a challenge for me all the time. Alright, like I said, we know how to talk, we talk very well, we can quote the scriptures, but the question is, do we do it? Are we an example? Are we able to display? Are we able to demonstrate the spirit and of power? I think that's the challenge that God is really putting on us, so that Christian life is not somewhere in heaven, spiritual, where you have to say, earth to a little bit, hey, wake up. It's not here in the air, it's down here on earth. Do you not know that Jesus is building his church? But where's Jesus? Tell me, where's Jesus? In heaven. Is that true? I know Jesus is here, I know you're very spiritual. Jesus is right here in the midst of us when two or three are gathered. He is right here in the midst of us. He's walking in the midst of us. But where is he physically? He's in heaven, isn't he? He's seated at the right hand of God, isn't he? He is, isn't he? Right? You're right?
Yeah.
But he's building his church, isn't he? So who's building on earth? You and I. He's building in heaven, and once in heaven, we're going to build it here.
Yeah.
Well, you and I are the people that are on the ground doing the thing, right? So it's not just Jesus is building, hallelujah, and he's just going to fall right here, and it's just going to... No, we are his workmanship. We have a work to do. We have something to do. There's a work that needs to take place. But like I said, it first starts individually, but there's a corporate, there's a bigger work, there's something bigger, but it first starts with me. But there's so much more that God has to do. The works, what are those works? Think about it. There's so many things God wants us to do. But start with the first works. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Father, I pray this morning as you are, as you speak to our hearts. You know, maybe some of us here this morning have felt that we have, you know, turned away from our first love. We've gotten busy in life and done so many things, but we have forgotten that He forgave us. How much more should I forgive? Maybe there are some here that are going through a difficult time, and in the midst of that has, you know, lost track of God is still in control. I just want to say we can come back to God. Maybe there are people here who have been doing dead works, works without Christ, works without Christ. But you can turn it around today by coming back and returning to Jesus and dedicate our life afresh to Him and say, Jesus, I come before You and I thank You for the blood of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I surrender my life to You. I yield myself to You. I offer myself to You. I consecrate myself. I devote myself unto You. I'm set apart for You this day. I lift up, I present my body and remembers
yes.
my eyes, my thoughts, my will, my emotion, my feet, my hands, my heart, everything. To You as living sacrifice. I'm dead to self. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to Satan. I'm dead to the system of this world.
Yes.
I'm alive again.
Yes. Yes.
No longer I who lives, but Christ who lives inside of me. Lord Jesus, find expression in us today so that our words will become flesh. May our life be a demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. The grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness,
yes.
worldly love, but to
yes.
teach us to live righteously,
yes.
soberly, and godly. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Let this grace come upon us this morning as we receive Your word. Lord, we want to change from glory to glory. So let there be a change.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We receive that word
yes.
right now.
Yes.
Lord God, a call to repentance.
Yes.
Lord, we turn to You. We turn to You.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Let our minds be renewed.
Yes.
Let our ways of thinking, our wicked ways, we forsake it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We renounce it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
But we receive Your thoughts, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
We receive Your ways, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. That we might bring the proclaim the praises of God, that we might be zealous for good works, for we are indeed Your special people. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.